Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Good morning, church. It's great to be here together with you guys, even if it's not in person. It's just wonderful that we have this platform with technology making it possible that we're on Zoom and we can still meet together and worship God on one accord. And it's just wonderful to hear Colin's story. That's just so encouraging to really step out in faith. And it's quite fitting as well, because this is what we're looking at, the series at the moment. We're looking at heroes of faith, if you want to call it that, or examples of men who had great faith in the Bible. So we will be looking at a character in the Bible, or a person, not just a character, but a real person that walked the earth thousands of years ago, and his name was Enoch. So Enoch is not one of those names that people are familiar with. There's a lot of Old Testament names that people know, like, you know, Joseph and Isaac and Isaiah, for example, but Enoch's not one of those people that's commonly spoken about. But we're really going to delve in and break it down and really explore his life and see what that means for us today. So beginning, if you have your Bibles, it would be great if you could turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. So here in this chapter, we explore a lot of the men in the Old Testament who were said to have great faith. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." That sounds great, but what does it really mean? The way I like to look at it, or try to break it down, is that faith is the stuff of the stuff that we hope for, and the evidence of things that we can't see, or we don't see, rather. And in the person of Enoch, we're going to break that down and see what that really means. So we come to meet Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis is the first book of the Bible in the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22 to 24, it says, "After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He had other children, and he lived 365 years in total, walking with God, and then God took him." We don't really hear a lot about Enoch, but who Enoch was, that we learn from the Bible, is that he was actually in the line of Adam. So he is seven generations after Adam, and he also is the great-grandfather of Noah. We know Adam as the first son on earth. We know Noah as the man who navigated the flood, the great flood, and built the ark. So that's where he's placed, in between two of them, and he's actually related to them. So Enoch, at the age of 65, he has a son, that's what the Bible says, and he walks with God for 300 years and has other children. And after walking with him for 300 years, God takes him. We're going to explore that a little bit later. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is this concept of walking with God. What does that actually mean? So in Genesis chapter 5, 22 to 24, it said that Enoch walks with God. And it says it twice, that he walks with God. But it's quite significant, the Bible repeats itself in this way, that Enoch walked with God. So one thing that the Bible says is that how can two walk together unless that they be one? And that's in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. In order for anyone to walk together, just think about it, you have to be going to the same place. You've got to be going in the same direction, effectively. So you've got the same goal. You're going to the same place. For example, say we'd all been together at church today at the cinema, and after church I'll be like, well, I'm going to this bus stop, you know, because I'm heading down towards Dawson, and then Sam says the same thing, or I'm going that way as well. If we can have that agreement that we're going to the same place, then we can walk together. But if Sam now tells me that, oh no, he's going to the bus stop, but he's going towards Highbury instead, then we can't walk together because it doesn't make any sense. So when we say that, or when the Bible says that Enoch walks with God, he was going in the same direction that God was going. They were going to the same place. They had a common goal. And there was an understanding of where they were going. That's why. And also, ultimately, there was agreement of where they were going. So it's not so talking about the where, it's talking about the how we're going to get there. Let's get the bus to Dalston, in the example that I just gave. So for Enoch, this means believing God, believing who he is and what he's about. It's about submitting to that thing that God does, and also obeying the instruction that God gave him. In that way, they're able to walk together because they've got the same mind. So, summarize what happens when two walk together. Ultimately, they take on the characteristics of each other. So I've got a personal example here of how walking with another person can like show either negativity or you get a positive outcome. I've got a friend. I'm going to change her name and call her Susan. Let's call her Susan. So Susan is, just tell me, quite a long story short, she's quite negative. She has a negative outlook on life. So if I'm ever in a bad mood, I know not to go to talk to Susan because she's not going to help me to lift me out of that mood. After speaking with her, I feel hopeless. I feel like I can't really do anything to change the situation. And even given that, I feel like, you know, things can't get better for me. Especially like we talk about jobs quite a lot, and she always seems to have a problem with everybody at work. And this is like over several jobs. It's not just one place, which is quite interesting, because if you're having the same outcome everywhere, perhaps it's not other people. The common denominator is you. And sometimes you have to explore ourselves to see what it is that we're bringing to the table. So that's the negative side. So walking with her, I end up coming out feeling quite similar to the way that she's, because of her outlook. And then also you've got the positive side, where talking or walking with someone, I've got a friend who I'm going to call Thomas. And after speaking with him or hanging out with him, I feel so much more empowered that I can overcome, that I can do better things, because ultimately we are taking on the characteristics of each other. So he's pulling me over to his side, which is more positive. And also, so probably an example that we can all relate to is a married couple. The longer that a couple's married, we've all heard it, they start to look alike. And there's so many examples, like the longer people spend time together, they take on the characteristics of each other. So when Enoch talks with God, he's taken on the character of God. He's taken on godliness and who he is. Another example, which I think it's quite amazing and speaks to, like, you know, walking with God, is that you come, or like you're qualified to become a representation of that other person. So our former president and first lady, Barack and Michelle Obama, so when they were campaigning for the presidential election, at a time, Michelle, Barack's wife, was going out and campaigning on behalf of her husband. So she was talking about all the different things that her husband was doing and what he stood for as wanting to become a presidential candidate. And there was no way that she would successfully been able to represent her husband unless they walk together. And that's exactly what they did. And in so doing, she was able to be an accurate reflection of her husband, to speak about what his values and what he was going to do as president. And in so doing, they ultimately won the presidential election in 2008. So that's the first thing that we learn about Enoch. He walked with God. Ultimately, he was taken on the character of God and godliness because he walked with him and spent so much time with him. The second thing that we learn about Enoch is that he didn't die a natural death. The same way that, you know, people die and we bury them or cremate them or whatever, Enoch did not experience that. And he is one of two people in the Bible who are said to have been taken up by God. back to the scripture we were looking at, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. It says that Enoch walked in close fellowship with God, and one day he disappeared because God took him. And then again, also in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 5, what we know of Enoch is that it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. Before he was taken, he was known as a person who pleased God. Another really big scripture that we probably all know is that it's impossible to please God without faith. So again, here it's reiterated that Enoch had faith and God took him. The other person that I refer to in the Bible, he was taken up in the same way and did not die a natural death, was the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah, we hear about him in the Old Testament in the book of Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, Elijah's walking and hanging out with his protege, Elisha. And as they're walking, which is interesting, reference to walking again, and we know walking to mean being on one accord, to be unity between two people. So as Elijah and Elisha were talking and walking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them. And Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. This is quite the picture. And the Bible's full of weird and wonderful things, because that's not everything. That's not something that you see every day, a chariot of fire and carrying someone off into heaven. But that's exactly what happened. And similar to Enoch's case, Elijah did not die a natural death. And the third thing that we know about Enoch from scripture is that he was a prophet, which means that he spoke of things to come. It's quite interesting in this that we don't really hear this until the book of Jude, which is in the New Testament, and it's the penultimate book of the Old Testament, the New Testament, which is the book before Revelations, which is only one chapter long, it's a short book. And in verse 14, it says, Enoch's prophecy about the Lord's coming was that he would be coming with thousands of his holy ones to judge the world. He would convict man of ungodliness, grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires and bragging about themselves, flattering others to get what they want. The Old Testament, in its entirety, it speaks to the coming of somebody else, the coming of our Lord and our Saviour. And Enoch's prophecy, walking with God, he was afforded the things, or he came to know things that the natural man wouldn't know. Someone that didn't have faith, that didn't walk with God, wouldn't have known this. So this could only have come from God. He spoke of Jesus' coming and what he would do. We're going to explore a little bit more what he said about what Jesus would be doing and how that relates to our lives today. So, that the Lord would be coming with thousands of his holy ones to judge the world, to convict men of their ungodliness. And what is ungodliness? It's described to be people that grumble and complain. You might want to ask yourself now, do I, fall under this category? Are you the one that grumbles? Are you the one that complains? I'm going to put my hand up to that. Not proud of it, but it's something that, is almost inevitable in what we do as human beings. Living only to satisfy your own desires. That's not putting the things of God first, but rather doing what you want to do and what you want to do in your natural man. And the Bible also says that, the spirit who's in us, it fights against the flesh. Galatians 5:16, and the rest of that chapter actually, it says that if you walk by the spirit, which is walk again, you will not walk as the nature of a sinful man. That's fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So living only to satisfy your desires is not a faith thing at all. It's putting everything aside and it's self-seeking. And that's what Jesus has come to judge. And bragging about yourself, setting yourself on a pedestal, or as an act of self-worship or even idolization, which is something the Bible speaks against, and flattering others to get what you want. These are all things that I think we fall victim to very often, even as Christians. But the good news is that our eternity and our salvation is not dependent upon these things. It's about having faith. Because there are so many men of faith in the Bible that weren't perfect. Abraham made lots of mistakes. He was promised by God that he would have a son, and he ran ahead and tried to do it first, and had a relationship with his wife's servant and had a child, but that wasn't the child that God had spoken about and promised him. So it's not about perfection. It's not, although this is the standard, it just points to God's holiness and how perfect he is and how we need him and to follow him in order to live the life that he's set out for us to live. I'm going to summarize these things. Looking at Enoch, Enoch is a man of faith. He's featured as a hero of faith, as an example of a man of faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 1. And he teaches us, his story teaches us, that faith means, number one, walking with God. Walking with God, obeying him, having a common goal and understanding and agreement, believing in him, submitting to him and obeying him. It's ultimately believing in God. That's what it is, walking with God. And then taking on, exhibiting the things that he wants us to through him. Number two, Enoch's character shows us that a man of faith has everlasting life with God. When he was taken up by God, that wasn't the end. That was an eternity with God. It was everlasting life with God. But that right there is evidence that even after we leave the earth, there is something else, and it's eternity in God's presence. And then the third thing that Enoch's character teaches us about faith, the man that has faith or the person that has faith, is that we are to live as Jesus and exhibit the person of Jesus. One of my very favourite series that we did as a church a few months ago was the Transformation Series. And on the very front of the book that we were, the study book that we're looking at, it was the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3. And it said to keep yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but to think of yourself as God by the measure of faith that he has given each and every single one of us. In the Bible, throughout the Bible, are countless examples of God being with different men when they had different things to do, assignments to do. For Moses, he was told, and Moses, you know the story of Moses, he was the choice person to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt when they're being oppressed. And countless times God said that I'll go with you. He said to Joshua, who came after Moses and finally had the people cross into the promised land, to Canaan, God said, I will be with you. In Psalm 23, it says, he leads me between five still waters. God is with us, always. And the Bible also says that when we draw near to him and we seek him, we find him. When we make it our intention, when we choose to focus on God, when we choose to not follow the way of the world, but to draw near to him and to be transformed by renewing of our mind, it's God's power that comes into us and helps us to be able to walk out and live a holy life. It's not of our own doing. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. And Jesus is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says that there's no salvation in anyone else. God has given no name under heaven under which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. It's by Jesus that we are saved. He gave himself for our sins. From where we were, a fallen life, a life full of sin, a life that didn't believe in God, a life that couldn't even see God. We didn't even have the faith enough to believe in something that we couldn't see. But it was Jesus, ultimately, and the Spirit of God that draws us into that truth. And when you were able to put our faith in him, God helps us to take on exactly who he is and what it is that he wants us to do to live a Christian life. So just to wrap it all up, Enoch is a man of faith. He's given us an example. He walked with God. His life shows us that there's everlasting life with God, even after we leave here. And he shows that we're living a life to exhibit the person of Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, we are saved. And when we can put our faith in him and believe that he's the only one through whom we can be saved, we are saved. God is faithful to his word and his promise. So right now, I just want us all to close our eyes and just think. Take a minute to stop and think. And know that probably most of us here on the line today are Christians. That means we know what it is that we believe. We've come to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we've put our faith in him, and that's why we are saved. And that's not just for life here, but for life for eternity. But even here while we're on earth, we walk with God and he is with us. What a comfort and what an encouragement that is. And the truth is sometimes we don't even know what the journey is going to be like. Like when Colin spoke about having, like, you know, feeling that he should have gone to Basildon Hospital and he saw a picture of the banner and the colours and to pray for, you know, people to be healed. Initially, he's praying for the NHS workers, but he didn't know what that looked like. He didn't know that 40 days later he would be on the news. He had no idea, but he chose to follow God. He chose to walk with him. And the only way you can do that is to have faith in him. So right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, the only one through whom you are saved, and even if you do, I want you to pray this prayer and let this be a reminder that, you know, this is why we are Christians. This is why we have faith in God. So dear Lord God, just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just give you thanks for your word that brings life, your word that says, you know, faith comes by hearing and by hearing by the word. We've explored so much scripture today and we believe that this is from you. Father, we've come to understand and know that in order to walk with you and be one with you, it's not on our own strength or in our own doing, but it's through the man of Jesus Christ. So Lord Father, we admit that we are sinners and we have fallen short of your grace, Lord Father, and your glory. We come to you right now and we put our faith, our belief, and our trust in you, Jesus. Lord Father, we just pray and just give you thanks. And by faith, we believe that we are saved because you can't explain it in the natural. It's not something that we feel, but we are trusting you right now. That you'll give us the assurance of salvation right now in our homes, wherever we're listening right now. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you that we are born again believers, that we are able to do life with you here, having the promise of eternal life. And even here on the earth, we're able to continue to show your love and your light. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.